going to take.
Patterson was also ordered to have no contact with the victim, and his next court hearing is set for February 6th. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Charlie Jones here. The new year is finally upon us, and to make 2019 a better year, it all starts with a good night's rest. And right now, MyPillow's best offer ever has been extended. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the end of the year special for the lowest price MyPillow has ever offered for their four-pack, including free shipping. And their 60-day money-back guarantee has been extended through March 1st. Best price ever, free shipping, extended money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com. Click on the end of the year special to get two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows for their lowest price ever. And be sure to use my promo code USA.
Millionaires tend to have five characteristics in common. That's according to financial expert and New York Times best-selling author Chris Hogan. Hogan is author of a new book titled Everyday Millionaires. Now, for that book, Hogan went and sat down with 10,000 millionaires and talked to them about how they accumulated their wealth. One of the key findings was that all millionaires ended up being debt-free through hard work. Hogan explains.
Getting out of debt is going to be that first tool. Whenever your income gets to stay with you and go work for you, i.e. an investment, it's a much better plan than it going off to someone else. So I want people to attack their debt. And I'm talking about credit cards, student loans, car loans. So the best plan for that is to make a list of your debt, smallest to biggest, write it down on paper, look at it. And I want you to attack the little one first while making minimum payments on all the rest. And as you throw everything but the kitchen sink at that little debt, you'll move on to the next one once you have it paid off. So getting yourself out of debt, getting yourself in control with learning the skills of budgeting. We have a fantastic budgeting tool called EveryDollar. Then go to EveryDollar.com and learn how to budget for free. And then I want people to save. I want them to get a 3 to 6 month emergency fund set aside so when the car breaks down or life happens, they have money to reach to instead of begging for more debt. And then finally, investing. That's the best way to grow your money. Time and compound interest allow your money to grow.
Hogan also noted only 21% of millionaires received any inheritance. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! This is the first show of 2019. We want to start 2019 with a bang, the right kind of bang, one of patriotism. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Happy New Year, and thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
Happy New Year, gentlemen. New Year, new SecDef, new Front Lines of Freedom affiliates. We're nearing 200 radio stations this program airs on each and every week. So if you're traveling and you just found our show for the first time, visit frontlinesoffreedom.com, click the radio stations link, and there you can find the station closest to your home base, so you can keep up on the latest military and veteran news each and every week.
Good to hear, Josh. Sounds good. We'll be hearing from Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby as he shares some warrant wisdom. And Marine vet Skip Coriel is here and seems to be smiling. You've been up to writing, haven't you? You've got that distant, faraway, romantic look in your eyes.
Well, you know, Colonel, I shared with you off the air that I'm writing something different. This is my 13th book. It's a romance novel. And I thought, you know, I've been married three times. I must be romantic. I figured it out, right? But I'm writing this book, and I keep killing off the characters. And my wife come to me, she said, honey, you know, I've read this, and it's good, but it's not really very romantic.
I don't know. It sounds pretty cool to me.
Well, you know, if I just change it to a crime mystery detective novel, I think it'll be fine.
That's true. Or we can just change romantic.
Oh, yeah. Change the definition.
Yeah. That's a thought. Not a good one, but it's a thought. Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss our President's decision to pull our forces out of Syria. Colonel Austin Bay will then discuss his book, which outlines five major threats that our nation's going to have to face. Then Colonel Dave Ajima will share the real threat of Islam and the threat that is to our country as well as to the world. And then we're going to review December's Movie of the Month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, you know that on each show we honor a deceased military person. Not the superstars, the average soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or coastie. They don't have to have served in combat, do have to serve honorably on active duty, guard, or reserve. I have some, but I need more vets to honor. To nominate someone, send me about 250 words summarizing his or her service, and I'll read that on the show. Send the information to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. We do welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. What's first, Josh?
The Army is looking for a few good robots. Not to fight, not yet at least, but to help the men and women who do. These robots aren't taking up arms, but the companies making them have waged a different kind of battle. At stake is a contract worth almost $500 million for 3,000 backpack-sized robots that can defuse bombs and scout enemy positions. Competition for the work has spilled over into Congress and federal court. The project and others like it could someday help troops look around the corner, over the next hillside, and let the robot be in harm's way, and let the robot get shot. The big fight over small robots opens a window into the intersection of technology and national defense, and shows how fears that China could surpass the U.S. drives even small tech startups to play geopolitics to outmaneuver rivals. It also raises questions about whether defense technology should be sourced solely to American companies to avoid the risk of tampering by foreign adversaries.
I am glad we are looking at this kind of technology. I do favor not outsourcing defense technology or only doing it to very dependable allies.
A record 16 out of 100 Navy women are reassigned from ships to shore duty due to pregnancy, according to data obtained under the Freedom of Information Act. That number is up 2% from 2015, representing hundreds more who have cut their deployments short, taxing both their units' manpower, military budgets, and combat readiness. Further, such increases cast a shadow over the lofty gender integration goals set by former President Obama. Overall, women unexpectedly leave their stations on Navy ships as much as 50% more frequently to return to land duty, according to documents obtained from the Navy covering the period from January 2015 to September 2016. The evacuation of pregnant women is costly for the Navy. June Eden, an author about women in the military who served in 2004 as the Marines deployed to Iraq, said a single transfer can cost the Navy up to $30,000 for each woman trained for a specific task, then evacuated from an active duty ship and sent to land. That figure translates into $115 million in expenses for 2016 alone. Eden said, quote, "This is an avoidable cost and expense, leaving a gap for other people to pick up the work slack," end quote. Elaine Donnelly, president of the Center for Military Readiness, says, quote, "A pregnancy takes you out of action for about 2 years, and there's no replacement, so everybody else has to work all that harder," end quote. She adds that on small ships and on submarines, you really have a potential crew disaster.
So about 1 out of every 6 female sailors at sea is pregnant at any one time. And pregnant means not deployable. And this is okay by what standard? It certainly violates any combat-ready focus. This has to change.
Our Navy has put development of hypersonic weapons on its acquisition wish list, even as Russian President Vladimir Putin recently boasted of a successful test and planned deployment in 2019 of invincible nuclear-armed versions that can fly at more than 20 times the speed of sound. Under his plan, released December 17th, Chief of Naval Operations Admiral John Richardson listed the Navy's intention to develop and field an offensive hypersonic weapon by 2025 as a top priority. The Air Force has also put a priority on hypersonics, reflecting the increasing concerns that Russia and China have taken the lead on a technology that potentially poses the threat of making existing missile defense systems obsolete. In April, the Air Force awarded a contract to develop a prototype hypersonic cruise missile. Officials have been candid in acknowledging that we are likely playing catch-up to Russia and China in the development of hypersonics. In a roundtable discussion with reporters last January, Air Force General Paul Selva, vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said, quote, "We have lost our technical advantage in hypersonics, but we haven't lost the hypersonics fight," end quote.
"There's no doubt that this is a vital area in the defense of our nation, and we are behind. I'm glad we know it, acknowledge it, and are acting."
The Pentagon is urging America's Pacific allies to increase their military presence in the South China Sea, in line with its own efforts to confront China. Randy Shriver, the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Asian and Pacific Affairs, made the call during a recent interview in Australia. He warned that the communists may want to establish military bases in the South Pacific. Shriver said, quote, "I think what could potentially bring more pressure on the Chinese is other partners and allies joining in these activities in the South China Sea. If not freedom of navigation operations, just joint patrols, presence operations," end quote. U.S. freedom of navigation operations are a challenge to Chinese territorial ambitions that have seen military facilities and equipment, such as aircraft and missiles, placed on artificial islands claimed by neighboring nations. American ships involved in these operations have clashed with Chinese vessels. In August, a Chinese warship almost collided with the destroyer USS Decatur near the disputed Spratly Islands. Shriver said, quote, "There have been several public accounts of Australian activities in the South China Sea, and some of the assertive challenges to Australia from China."
"It's very appropriate that every nation hold China accountable for their illegal expansion of control of sea lanes, especially China's close neighbors like Australia and New Zealand." And that's the news. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk major threats to our nation with retired Colonel Austin Bay. At ease, troops, take a break.
Spartan Nash is committed to supporting our veterans as they transition out of the service and back into the workforce. As a veteran-friendly and military-friendly employer, Spartan Nash is committed to hiring, training, and retaining those who served our country.
Learn how your skills and experience can be put to use at Spartan Nash and begin your civilian career with us. Learn more at careers.spartannash.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Criminals love the cover of darkness. It hides them and provides a tactical advantage and cover for them to launch an attack. Avoid dark alleys and unlit parking lots. When possible, always park under a light and avoid areas with a reputation for high crime. Remember, if you can't see the bad guy, then you can't avoid his ambush. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Modern Chamber of Commerce. building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia. The support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you can continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. On its face, President Trump's announcement that he's pulling U.S. forces out of Syria seems like an unfriendly act towards Israel. But it isn't. The pullout is a piece of outgoing Ambassador of the UN Nikki Haley's address to the UN Security Council regarding the Palestinian conflict with Israel. She shared the depths of the administration's friendship and support for Israel. In Haley's speech concerning the Palestinian conflict with Israel, she decried the, quote, UN's obsession with Israel, end quote. Her comments annoyed our European allies. I plan to discuss that next week. Now Syria and Trump's sudden announcement that he's pulling our forces out. This seems to advance the interests of all of our worst enemies at the expense of our closest allies. U.S. forces were first deployed to Syria in 2014 as part of an international anti-ISIS coalition. At the time, then-President Obama was engaged in negotiations with Iran towards the nuclear deal. Obama sought a strategic realignment away from our traditional Sunni Arab allies and Israel toward Iran and the Muslim Brotherhood, as Obama's Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes told an audience of pro-Obama activists. Obama viewed his embrace of Iran through nuclear talks as the central policy of his second term. Since Sunni ISIS was perceived as hostile to Shiite Iran, by fighting ISIS, Obama was helping Iran get rid of a powerful adversary, and he was selling the idea to the American public that Iran was their ally in a common war against ISIS. U.S. forces in Syria were prohibited from taking any action at all against Iran or Iranian-backed forces. The Trump administration continued Obama's pro-Iran policy in Syria. Efforts to change the U.S. mission failed, largely to Pentagon, Mattis, opposition. It's true that our forces in Syria do more than fight ISIS. They block Iran from controlling the Syrian border with Iraq and so prevent Iran from controlling a land route from Tehran to the Mediterranean Sea and Israel. Our forces have also blocked Turkey from taking over Syrian Kurdistan and have prevented Turkish President Erdogan from carrying out his pledge to destroy Kurdish-dominated Syrian Democratic Forces. If we don't arm and supply the SDF once we leave, Syria's Kurds, our only loyal ally there, will either have to cut a deal with Russia and Iran or face Turkey alone. U.S. forces in Syria also block Russia from taking over Syria's oil fields. In February, 40 U.S. Special Forces troops alone blocked hundreds of Russian mercenaries from seizing the Conoco oil field. Finally, U.S. forces in Syria act as a deterrent against Russian, Iranian, and Hezbollah aggression against Israel. With U.S. forces on the ground, they fear that provoking a war with Israel will be tantamount to a war against America, so with U.S. forces out of Syria, their fear of attacking Israel diminishes. But there are two significant upsides to our move which outweigh the downside, at least as far as Israel is concerned. First, by leaving Syria, we are abandoning Obama's pro-Iranian policy, and this is part of a far-reaching strategic shift rather than a dangerous move by an impulsive president. U.S. officials told Israel that Washington will realign its policy about Lebanon and the Lebanese military with Israel's position if Hezbollah receives a larger role in the next Lebanese government than it had in the previous one, because Hezbollah and its allies won a big majority of the seats in this past May's parliamentary elections. Negotiations towards a new government have been deadlocked over Hezbollah's demand for a much larger role. Obama's Lebanon policy, supporting the Hezbollah-controlled Lebanese government and military, was a part of his overall policy to empower Iran at the expense of Israel and the Sunni Arabs. Until now, guided by the Pentagon, Mattis, the Trump administration has maintained this policy, much to Israel's distress. The advantage Israel gains from our abandonment of the Hezbollah-controlled Lebanese government and military far outweighs the blow it takes from the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Syria. If we abandon our support for the Lebanese government, Israel will be able to defeat Hezbollah in any war. Prime Minister Netanyahu said, quote, "We will continue to act in Syria to prevent Iran's effort to militarily entrench itself against us. We are not reducing our efforts. We will increase our efforts," end quote. And then he added that, quote, "I know that we will do so with the full support and backing of the United States." If we support Israel in war against Iran and Hezbollah by, among other things, 1, deterring Russia and Turkey from getting involved, 2, defending Israel at the UN, and 3, supplying it with the weapons and other indirect support it needs to succeed, then it gives Israel a green light to attack the Hezbollah-controlled Lebanese government and military. Then this move of Trump represents a full abandonment of Obama's anti-Israel, pro-Iranian policies. By abandoning the anti-Israel fake peace process and striking out on a new path based on reality, and by abandoning Obama's pro-Iran policies in Syria and Lebanon and backing Israel, the Trump administration is demonstrating what pro-Israel really means. So long as it's true to its word, Israel is safer in the long run for it. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. And now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Colonel, as the clock struck midnight on January 1st, the Military Justice Act of 2016 went into effect. Yes, I know it's now 2019, but the law was signed by President Obama back in 2016. You see, in 2013, former Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Army General Martin Dempsey, called for a systematic review of both the code in the manual for court-martials to ensure military laws and regulations reflected today's current environment. This was the most significant change to the military justice system since the Military Justice Act of 1983. The new law's reforms include criminalizing sexual activity between recruits or trainees and people in trusted positions, which is defined as officers, non-commissioned officers, recruiters, or instructors. It also had retaliation against individuals who report or plan to blow the whistle on illegal activity and credit and debit card fraud. The law's changes also included more opportunities for convicted service members to file appeals, automatically sends court-martials that result in death sentences, dishonorable discharges, or confinement of 2 years or more to a service court of criminal appeals for review. It also gave accused service members the chance to have a solo judge handle their court-martial instead of a panel, at least for some cases. It established a fixed panel size for different types of court-martial. It requires a three-quarter vote to convict a service member of non-capital crime. And the law also increases the transparency within the military justice system by mandating that most court-martial documents be made publicly accessible under a system similar to that which is used in civil criminal justice systems. The Uniform Code of Military Justice is part of the United States Code and can only be changed by passing new legislation. On the other hand, the Manual for Court-Martials, that's the official guide on how to actually conduct court-martials, and it's issued by the President as an executive order. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Have a great 2019. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. You constantly amaze me. I really appreciate you. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, Colonel Austin Bay will discuss 5 complex wars shaping our century, and then Colonel Dave Agin will discuss the threat of Islam to our nation. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for planks. Let's do a minute each, do 10 of them, then stand at ease.
Now is the time, and wherever you are, is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military, continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence. Classes are held to the same high standards and consistently named the Citadel, the number one master's granting public college in the South. The Citadel, online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
LuLaRoe is comfortable, affordable fashion for women, men, and kids. Sold by tens of thousands of small business owners across the U.S., including many military families. Founded by entrepreneurs seeking a career that allows more freedom to be at home with their families, LuLaRoe is sold at in-home pop-up parties and on social media VIP pages. Check out a sampling of the unique prints and patterns in dresses, tops, leggings, and skirts at LuLaRoe.com and follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill continue for Attorney General nominee William Barr. During that hearing, Barr says he will not be bullied.
I am not going to do anything that I think is wrong, and I will not be bullied into doing anything I think is wrong by anybody.
Barr was also asked if he believes Special Counsel Robert Mueller is involved in a witch hunt.
I believe it is in the best interest of everyone, the president, Congress, and the American people, that this matter be resolved by allowing the special counsel to complete his work.
Congressional Democrats rejected President Trump's invitation to a lunch meeting at the White House to discuss border security. Negotiations are continuing over a bid to keep Sears open and operating. Sears Chairman Eddie Lampert is now offering more than $5 billion for the bankrupt company, a deal that would keep hundreds of stores open across the nation. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free, and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show retired Army Colonel Austin Bay. Austin is also an author and has appeared in a lot of media. He's even been on radio like me. Scary, isn't it? Anyway, he's an expert in military strategy, analysis, and planning. In his book, Cocktails from Hell, he shares about the five complex wars that are shaping this century, and that's where we're living. So, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Austin. Glad to have you here.
Glad to be here, Denny.
Austin, take a minute and review your military service. You were both active and reserve, right?
Yeah, I did a limit of 4 years in the 1970s after I got a commission through ROTC at Rice University in Houston. I served most of the time in West Germany. You remember West Germany, I think. In armor and mech outfits, I was in the 11th Cav for about a year, and then 1st Infantry Division Forward, the Forward Brigade group they had, and then came back and got, you know, off active duty in the middle of 1978, and was briefly in the Texas Army National Guard while my wife, who had taken a leave of absence, finished law school at the University of Texas. And after that, I was briefly in the New York Army National Guard. I was getting a doctorate at Columbia and didn't have the time to be in the troop program unit, so I moved to the Army Reserves. I was individual ready reserve for a few years. Then when I made major, I got a mobilization augmentee slot in the Pentagon in the Army Research Development Acquisition section. And that led ultimately to another mobilization augmentee slot. I got the J3 strategist job. It was a reserved slot for a lieutenant colonel. And one was the Ballistic Missile Defense Organization. That was the name for the Strategic Defense Initiative during the Clinton administration. Did that for about 4 years. Ended up with a mobilization augmentee slot at TRADOC. And in my last reserve ADT, though, was with the Reserve Forces Policy Board. In that time, I got called up for Desert Storm. I served on the Army staff. I think I was on about 5 months, and then we rolled it up, and all of us were supposed to be on active duty for a year. I think I was on 5 months. And then I served a lot of 3 and 5 week extended duty tours on joint staffs because I was tabbed to be a plus up to a corps or theater staff in the event of a mobilization. And that finally happened in 2004, my last POGEST. I was, it sounds big, and it was a big job. I was a senior plans officer for Multinational Corps Iraq. There were actually two senior plans officers. There was a regular Marine colonel and myself. But believe me, the fellow who was really running that shop was the plans officer for U.S. Army Third Corps, who was a lieutenant colonel. And we, in reality, were all working for and with him, but I did a tour in Iraq in 2004. So that is our sketch of my military career.
Okay, so you didn't get into a rut and stay in it. You moved around. That's a fun way to do things.
Well, it is. Look, there's something else I did. I did this as Dr. Bay, but for almost 5 years, I was a special consultant in the Office of Net Assessments in the Secretary of Defense's office. Net Assessments is like the SecDef's personal think tank, and I have a background in simulations, really wargaming. If there's a book that Jim Dunnigan and I co-authored, the first edition came out in 1985 called A Quick and Dirty Guide to War, and it uses wargaming and simulation techniques to look at the current and future conflicts. The book was, the first edition was a bestseller in 1985. We subsequently did 3 more editions, but they were always changing. They were almost like new books. One came out in 92, another one in 96, and the last one in 2008. But that first book is one of the reasons I got picked up to be a special advisor on the gaming in the Pentagon. And that fed in with what I was doing as a reservist, absolutely, because I was almost always either in a J3 or J5 slot when I was pulling those tours.
Okay. And, folks, J3 is operations, J5 is plans. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the 5 wars that are shaping the century with Colonel Austin Bay. Austin, it sounds like your background was designed to prepare you to write your book, Cocktails from Hell.
Well, it is. Today it's you and one other reviewer, a fellow by the name of Richard Fernandez, who reviewed it on his Belmont Club blog, which is Pajamas Media, to have picked that up. This really is an operational look at 5, and I selected these 5 conflicts, not because they're the only ones shaping the century, but they are case studies, and no matter how they turn out, and here I'm almost quoting a blurb that Jim Dunnigan wrote for the book, but it is on the Amazon page for Cocktails from Hell. He says, no matter how these conflicts turn out, their elements are going to be something that we're going to have to deal with. And he was saying that Austin Bay got the fundamentals right. The other element that I use in the, besides the operational approach, and understand I'm looking at it, there are tactical cocktails right on up to, well, maybe grand strategic cocktails. You're looking at ingredients and how they either work together or don't work together. And to some degree, I am pinching the term from Colonels Chow and Wang and their treatise, their thought experiment, Warfare Without Boundaries, or Unrestricted Warfare is usually the way that it's written, the study, 1999, that Chow and Wang produced, even though I'm told by Chinese speakers that Warfare Without Limits is a better translation instead of Unrestricted Warfare. They talk about masters of cocktails in history, and they point to Alexander the Great as being a superb example of a military commander who understood diplomacy, understood, you know, all the elements of power and dime: diplomacy, intelligence, information, military, and economics. Remember that old acronym to supposed to help you think about what's the best way to address a problem. The military instrument has problems if you use it too much. You can create problems. So you have to think and plan how these instruments, elements of power, can work together. The fancy word is synergy. That's a good word, but work together to achieve a goal. Doesn't just apply in foreign affairs and the military world. When you apply some of these to businesses, everybody's got to advertise, so therefore your information, you got to do market assessment, therefore you're involved in intelligence. Economics, of course, you got to get finance and diplomacy. You got to know how to talk to people and shake hands and make a deal. I left the M out, but just think of it as making sure that your IT, information technology, is secure. The security element in businesses as well. So I took that section from John Wang's Unrestricted Warfare. We'll just deal with that name for it. And said, look, this is a way to explain what is going on in some of these so-called hybrid wars. Well, I say so-called hybrid wars. They're not new. War's always been a hybrid, which is the point that they were making when they talked about Alexander the Great, and they also talked about a Chinese king and General Zhou from about 1000 B.C. One of the reasons they praised Alexander the Great was his use of his combined arms army.
And Austin, we'll continue discussing about Alexander the Great when we come back. So, folks, that's where we'll be. Austin's going to be with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. United American Patriots defends U.S. service members who are wrongfully accused of a crime in combat. This includes providing resources for legal representation during investigations, court-martials, the funding of experts, post-trial clemency and hearings, appeals, providing stipends during incarceration, funding family member travel, and facilitating reintegration into civilian society upon release from incarceration. Check UnitedPatriots.org.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big Z coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Colonel Austin Bay about the five complex wars shaping the 21st century. We're talking about combined armies, Austin.
A combined arms army. And Callan Wang points to the Macedonian army that Alexander the Great led when he invaded Persia and destroyed the Persian Empire, basically at the Battle of Gaugamela. That combined arms army was actually built by Alexander's father, Philip II, but he knew how to use it. Combined arms at that time was phalanx, the Macedonian heavy infantry phalanx, and, of course, the armored cavalry that Alexander usually personally led. But the Macedonians had developed a lightly armored, light infantry group regiment called the Hypaspes, and those fellows were selected athletes who would maintain contact with the slow-moving phalanx and with the fast-moving cavalry, and both in terms of communication and also making sure that the Macedonians didn't leave a hole that a mobile enemy could exploit. That's one reason the Macedonians, well, there's some argument about one battle that they may have lost in what is now part of Afghanistan, but Alexander wasn't there. He basically never lost being able to use that combined arms army. And it's some of the folks, I think, correctly argue that it was the first real combined arms army in history. Cao and Wang say that this General Zhao in 1000 B.C. had a combined arms army, but, you know, and they're playing the China did it first. And then they have a sense of humor about it, too. All right, but the point is that that's a cocktail. It's a tactical cocktail that you can use operationally and strategically. And those three pieces, the heavy infantry, the light mobile infantry, both as a communicator and to fill in the holes, and then Alexander's cavalry is a striking offensive element of it. So that's a tactical type of cocktail. What we faced in the interdependent economics, and that's a cocktail unto itself. It certainly aligns with diplomacy and also with the capabilities of the transportation and international law. All of these become elements of how one could fight a war, whether offensive or defensive. And that's how I approach all five. First is Korea, and I take Korea because it's a frozen war. It's unfreezing. Something's changed in the last since February 2017. And you saw, we heard some of the change in June of 2018. First time things have really changed in the Korean War, which still isn't over since June of 1950. All right. I use that because it's a frozen war that also has conventional elements, and it is also a nuclear proliferation war. And nuclear proliferation is a constant problem. We're worried about whether Al-Qaeda would get a nuclear weapon, one of our biggest fears, a terrorist nuclear weapon. And then proliferation is also an issue with Iran. Now, in the politics, I spend a lot of time on the diplomacy involved and the history of it in the Korea chapter, because I then move towards the end of the chapter to discuss what I call the Trump administration's coercive diplomatic efforts, a diplomatic cocktail. That begins, I say, in February 2017, and then I follow it through to June of 2018. It's still continuing. Arguably, that effort begins in 1999 because Trump gave a very interesting interview with Meet the Press, and he was asked what he would do if he was ever president, and he said he was going to do something about North Korea. You can find that interview on the web. The next chapter is The Dragon Revives. One guess as to what it is, China. Focuses mostly on China's expansion in the South China Sea, but remember, the Dragon is still at war, very frozen war in the Himalayas. And it's frozen in a lot of ways, Denny, with India, the Sino-Indian War of 1962. And those two huge nations, one, China is arguably now a global great power, But India is a regional power and really dominates the Indian Ocean. Now, rich cocktail here. You dominate the Indian Ocean, you're right on top of all the sea lanes of transport, moving all the resources from Africa and Southwest Asia that feeds China's economy.
Yes, that's absolutely true. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking about the wars shaping our lives today with Colonel Austin Bay. Austin, you've covered a ton of stuff. Start wrapping it up for us. What are some of the key things that listeners need to take from our conversation?
Narrative warfare, whether it's propaganda, the truth, or whatever, the story and how it's told is important. That, I spent a lot of time on it in the chapter on Russia and Ukraine. Also, proxy wars. Now, that's why I use Iran and Yemen. That's one of the most complicated, I mean, serious complicated, Denny, but Yemen is insanely complicated. And then the last one's Congo. I already mentioned resources. Resources still matter. You like electric vehicles? That means you've got to have batteries. And cobalt, it takes 22 pounds of cobalt, 10 kilos, to make one of the batteries that power China's, one of the, like they call them urban cars. They're kind of a cute little electric vehicle you can tool around Shanghai in. That's a very big deal. In Congo, when I finished what was really the first draft, end of March 2018, early April, I looked, and out of its 26 provinces, 10 had wars going on. And I mean wars, where conflict people inside are shooting at each other, or shooting at the government. That's very poorly covered, even though you've got to give Israel's false press and Reuters and several church news services a lot of credit for covering those terrible little situations. But there it is. There's a Congo sits on one of the biggest mineral treasure chests on the planet. So I would take that away. There are lots of places you don't know about matter. They matter to somebody. And in the world of cocktails from hell, somebody's going to either try to control it or assure that someone else doesn't control it and deny them the access to the resources.
So, folks, you can see why I wanted Austin to join us today. His way of seeing the world from a military political perspective is very different than what you hear about almost anywhere else. Austin, your book, Cocktails from Hell, obviously fills in a lot of the blanks we didn't get to today. I presume people can get a copy of it on Amazon, places like that?
Right. Simon & Schuster is the Canadian publisher, and they've got a web page similar to Amazon. You can also get through local bookstores. I've had a number of acquaintances, some of them I hadn't seen in 30 years, drop me an email and say, you know, hey, I got it on Amazon, or I went and did it the old-fashioned way. I ordered it from the little bookstore that's still here in our little town. So, you know, there's some folks still managing to eke out, just stay in business despite Amazon's dominance of the book market. I'm not at all dissing Amazon. I'm just saying how hard it is to for some of the bookstores. But
you can get it
through your bookstore as well.
It's worth reading, folks. Trust me. Thank you, Austin, for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, and thank you for this book. This book is going to wake up people who want to think, including me. Thank you, friend.
Hey, Danny, thanks for having me on.
Here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and how can we not honor Richard Overton, who was our nation's oldest man and oldest war veteran, who just reported for duty in heaven. Overton, who was honored for his military service and beloved for his propensity to enjoy his supercentenarian status with a cigar in one hand and a glass of whiskey in another, was 112 years old. He died at a rehabilitation facility in Austin. Before entering the rehab facility on Christmas Eve, he'd been hospitalized with pneumonia at St. David's Medical Center for over a week. Overton was well known to his neighbors, who often chatted with him on his porch in East Austin during the 72 years he lived there. Over the past few years, people from all over the country got to know him as well, as he received increasing national attention for his age and his service in World War II. For several of his recent birthdays, he welcomed the community into his yard to celebrate. People from all over Central Texas arrived to say hello and give him a birthday card, or if they knew Overton's favorite pastimes, a bottle of whiskey or a box of cigars. Born in Bastrop County on May 11, 1906, Richard enlisted in the Army in 1942, 9 months after Pearl Harbor was attacked. He served in the Pacific Theater, including Guam, Okinawa, and Iwo Jima, until 1945 when he left the service. Overton said he had landed on more beaches under fire than he could remember. He also remembered ducking bullets in foxholes and clearing bodies from fields of fire. After the war was over, he worked in furniture stores and later in the state treasurer's office. In 2013, Austin City Council proclaimed the Veterans Birthday, Richard A. Overton Day. Council members passed a resolution to give Hamilton Avenue, the street on which Overton lived, the honorary name Richard Overton Avenue. In one of his last public appearances, Overton was honored in March 2017 with a standing O at the San Antonio Spurs game. Overton was presented with a custom camouflage Spurs jersey, his name, and the number 110, his age at the time. Overton was featured in local, regional, and national publications and the subject of the short documentary, Mr. Overton. So stand tall in heaven, Richard Overton. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing the threat of Islam to our nation. Then we'll review December's movie of the month. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run a couple miles of wind sprints outside or on a machine, if you have snow like I do. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Six days after landing in one of the world's most dangerous places, U.S. Marine Corporal Jake Schick's life changed forever.
Yeah, I was severely wounded in Iraq, conducted combat operations in the Sunni Triangle in 2004.
His Humvee hit a landmine. Within 2 days, he was back in the United States for the first of nearly 50 surgeries.
Once I got back here, my real battle started.
Jake lost a leg and sustained traumatic brain injury. He spent 18 months in hospitals with family right beside him.
You need your family. You need your support system. You know, you need people like the Fisher House.
Fisher House. It's a home away from home for families of wounded warriors and veterans receiving treatment at no cost to families.
Just very thankful to the Fisher House for what they did for my family that entire time and for the things they continue to do.
You can help by making Fisher House your charity of choice on your CFC pledge form.
Fisher House, they were always there, so that was cool.
The CFC, Fisher House, and you. Find out how you can make a difference at fisherhouse.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
William Barr is President Trump's next pick to be the next Attorney General of the United States. He's testifying before a Senate Judiciary Committee today. He was asked how the American people should think of the Mueller investigation.
I think that there were allegations made of Russian attempts to interfere in the election. And as I understand it, Mueller is looking into those allegations.
The longest partial government shutdown in U.S. history is now in its 25th day. Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy tells Fox News the president is not budging when it comes to a wall.
I think he understands what most Americans understand, that it's ludicrous to think that you can secure a 1,900-mile border without barriers.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline. Are you on Medicare and/or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment, at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 877-875-5909. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com.
U.S. troops deployed on the border with Mexico will be there for a while. With the latest, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes from Washington.
The acting head of the Department of Defense approving the extension of the mission of troops supporting the Department of Homeland Security along the southern border through at least September. However, soldiers are switching up their role from hardening points of entry to surveillance and detection. The Pentagon says it will also provide air support to border agents. There are about 2,300 troops on the border with Mexico. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Teachers in the second largest school district in the nation are taking to the streets for the second day in a row. Teacher Michael Turner is on the picket line demanding more from the school district. He says he's not going anywhere.
I'm going to be out here all week. Wherever they ask me to be is where I'm going to be, fighting.
That audio courtesy of NBC News. Meanwhile, more than 30,000 teachers, students, and parents are flooding the streets as it rains in Southern California to support the strike. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
President Trump invited Democrats to meet at the White House today to discuss ways to end the partial government shutdown and border security. They declined. Florida Republican Senator Rick Scott has some advice for President Trump.
I think if I was a president, it's no different than what I did when I was a governor or as a CEO. You look at every option you can and you say, it's my job to make sure we have a secure border. What are my options? And I'm going to take every decision I can, take every power I have to make something happen. And that's what the president ought to be doing, because the Democrats, I guess they think this is good politics. They won't even negotiate with him.
Yeah.
So you got to work with people. I mean, I worked with my legislature. Did I get it done exactly the way I want things done? No. But I know they had to win and we had to win to get something done for my state.
Scott also tells Fox News he was talking with Senator Lindsey Graham about a possible compromise between the Gang of 20.
Yeah, I talked to Lindsey, you know, about, you know, things like that. Everybody ought to keep talking to see if there's some way to get this done. But if the Democrats say, I don't care if we, you know, come back up here, we're still never going to talk about border security. We're never going to talk about, you know, making sure, you know, people are safe. Then what do you do? If you're the president, you say, why would I waste my time meeting with people or talking to people that are said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to take whatever action I can take on my own. But I think it's important to talk to people. I think it's important to see what can be done.
Please remember, you can follow us on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com. Brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, 100in. This is Big C coming to you from 100inchamberradio.com. The studio offices of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning 100in kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on 100in County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America.